Good morning. It is October 8th, about 10:30 in the morning, here in the mountains of North Carolina. It's raining outside. We have the remnants of Nate. I guess it's a tropical storm now moving through. And next week at this time, I will be in Washington, D.C. We're taking my wife up there, Madeline. She's always wanted to see it, so. And in the recent class she took, she's taking a class called Public Speaking. She had to give a speech from a famous person, and she gave a speech from Abraham Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address. And I said to her, oh, and she had to be in costume too, so she had a beard and a top hat. I said she had to put that on, and when we go to Washington, she can sit in Lincoln's lap there at the Lincoln Memorial, and we can get a picture. But anyway, I think it'll be interesting to see the Smithsonian Institute or museum, and we'll see the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial and Washington Memorial and all that. That's what we'll be doing next week. Now, I hadn't decided on giving a talk this morning. I was reading recently in the Realization of Oneness, Joel says that he doesn't plan on his talks. He shows up an hour before the people arrive. He has a meditation. And if something comes, he'll jot it down, and if more comes, he'll jot that down, and by the time the people get there, he has a whole hour's class. Well, I thought that might be interesting one of these days, to just show up at a weekend seminar and not have any plans or anything, and just meditate and see what comes out, see what the audience draws. That would be, well, it would feed their level of consciousness. So I thought this morning we'd try the same thing. I have no books in front of me. I have no thoughts stored up, nothing in memory to deliver. I'm just going to be still here and see what you draw forth from the Christ within. Let us do that. Let us be still. As you know, being still is not necessarily being 100% quiet. You may hear the rain outside like I do, or you may hear your own breathing if it's quiet where you are. That has nothing to do with being still. Being still is being absent from the body and present with God. It means absent from world thought, really, and present with God consciousness, or the awareness of God. So that's the point. You're empty of self. You're feeling God. So let's do that. Let's be still for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. What is your name? If I was asking you that, person to person, I would say, "Hi, what is your name?" What would you answer? If you look in the New Testament, in Revelation, it says, if you overcome, you will be given a stone. And on that stone is written a new name, which no one knows except him who receiveth it. Stone is consciousness. You're given a new consciousness. And the new name is Christ. In John, it says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many that did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Or, to them gave he a new consciousness and a new name, the Son of God, or Christ. And so if I was to ask you, what is your name? Would you be knowing inside? Would the first reply you heard within yourself be, I am Christ? That must be your response to everyone and everything. I am Christ. If someone shows you a problem, tells you they have a problem, a lack, a limitation, within you must come the word, I am Christ. Be not afraid. I am Christ. I've told this before, but we'll say it again. I have always loved music. All kinds of music. The bigger the better. I was prone to listen to moody blues in the 60s and 70s when I was a teenager because of their very large sound. They had the London Philharmonic Orchestra behind them. A London Symphony was behind them. And so their songs were, well, they made you feel spacious and could even lead to a meditation for me. And so I've always loved music and I wanted to play. I went to a pawn shop in Los Angeles, where I was living at the time. I bought a guitar for, I think it was $84, and guess what? It's right here in my closet, about 3 feet away. That was almost 50 years ago I bought that. That's a long time. Anyway, I couldn't play. I wanted to, and I didn't know how to read music. I never learned. But, blessing of blessings, they invented something called tablature, which is a way of reading music. And I studied that tablature, and I could do it. When it said slide, I could slide my finger down the strings. When it said hammer, I could press down fast on one of the strings or let go fast. I could put my fingers where it showed them to be, they needed to be, to make an A chord or a B chord or a G or a D. I could pick the strings with my right hand where it said pick these two and then that one and that one. And so I set forth with my guitar and lap to play a song. I think it was Soldier's Joy. And that's a bluegrass kind of song. And I practiced and practiced, and I couldn't press the strings hard enough because I didn't have calluses yet, and so they were dull sounding. They didn't sound crisp and sharp. They were dull and twangy. Not too good. My wife didn't want to come in the room. But I practiced, and I practiced. I began to get calluses. The song was complicated, a lot of finger-picking and sliding and hammering and up and down with the left hand. A lot of picking with the right hand. I practiced. It hurt. It hurt my fingers. Hurt my ears, too. It wasn't what I considered music. But one day, I was plucking and finger-picking and sliding, and it was all working. It all sounded good. I was playing the song, Soldier's Joy. It should be accompanied by a banjo, but it was just me on the guitar. And my wife came walking in. She said, "Hey, that sounds good." I know. I finally learned one song. That took months. But if you love music, it's not a chore. It's something you want to do. Your heart tells you. So I learned some more songs and some more songs and some more songs. And then I noticed one day as I was playing along, I didn't have to look at the strings. I could even close my eyes and play the song. My fingers knew where to fall, and I'm talking about complicated finger picking and sliding and hammering and changing chords real rapidly without a dull, twangy sound. And some strumming. Well, I came to see after a while that if I thought about it, I would miss, my fingers would miss on the strings. But if I didn't think about it, the songs that I knew, my fingers would just go by themselves. I could close my eyes and listen to the melody, the rhythm, the song, without might, without power, I was playing. Later, when I came to practicing spiritual principles, it was the same. When I learned of a principle from one of the books or talks by Joel or Herb, or Jesus from the Bible, I would begin to practice it. And of course, I would forget more than I would remember. I would say the night before I went to sleep, "Now, the first thing on my mind when I awaken needs to be God." And I would go to sleep and wake up in the morning with the alarm going off because I had to get to work, and I shut the alarm off and get up and brush my teeth and clean up, take a shower, shave. Oh, wait, darn it, I forgot. I was going to think of God. You know, if you've practiced, you know what I'm talking about. It's work. It's hard work, just like the guitar was. But if you love Christ, If you love God, if you know that there's something here, you can feel it, you can't prove it yet, but something says, yes, I feel this, this is right, then you persist. And that's what I did. I persisted. I was only 18 years old, and I had a copy of The Art of Meditation, and I would go to history class, which I didn't much like, and I would put that Art of Meditation behind my history book, and the history teacher, she would be going over something, and we would be following in the book, but I was reading The Art of Meditation. And I was so consumed with it, so fascinated by it, I'd take my lunch break, and instead of going to the cafeteria with the rest of the kids, I would go across the street to the park and sit in the shade and read that book. Something about it. And I practiced meditation. Wasn't very good at it. I had a Grand Central Station head. Thoughts just swirled and whirled and did somersaults and jumped up to get my attention. It was impossible to quiet the mind. But I persisted. When I was learning the guitar, I had to say, now, okay, my finger goes here and here and here. That's a C chord. And I strum it and twang. It didn't sound good at all. But eventually it was prung. Really nice. It was the same with the spiritual principle, the same with meditation. Now, what do I have to do? Oh, yes, I need to start with contemplation. And what does he say? Oh, it can be a scripture or a statement of truth, but I always start with the word God. Well, eventually, just like playing the guitar, I learned to close my eyes, become semi-still, contemplate some scripture or statement of truth for a little while, and then just rest. Father, speak, thy servant heareth. Father, reveal thyself. You know, when I learned to play that guitar where I didn't have to look anymore, and the fingers just went where they went, and I listened to the melody, it was wonderful. And when I learned to meditate, where I could sit down, close my eyes, and feel that inner release, as if floating on the sea of spirit, and feel that presence, the presence of God, become consciously aware of that presence, it was wonderful. I can remember the first time it happened. And I was reading The Art of Meditation. I was no longer 18. I think I was 19 or 20. So that tells you it was a year or two later, doesn't it? My wife had run off with another man, so I had plenty of time to read and meditate. I sat in my chair, and I read from the chapter, For Love Is of God. And I put the book down, and I closed my eyes, and I became still. And suddenly there was this warm, invisible presence flowing into the side of my face. It was the entire side of my face and the top of my head. And I felt it flowing like an invisible spirit flowing through and through. And there was a sense of peace that came over me at the same time. So it was And I said, oh, so that's the presence. So that's the Father's presence. Touching me so gentle on my face and flowing into my being. How wonderful. Slowly, 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 I finally got to the place where I could just close my eyes and almost instantly, at times, feel that presence. It's never left. That was 1973. It's never left. I feel that presence almost every single day. Sometimes more than once. And I always feel it in meditation, otherwise the meditation isn't done as far as I'm concerned. And so you see, I came to be able to play music, which I love. I did that through practice, practice, practice. And I was able to, and am able to, feel the presence, demonstrate Christ, be consciously aware of the Christ within, through practice, practice, practice. But eventually I didn't need the book. I could put it aside and still play my music. Eventually I didn't need a reminder. I didn't have to read scripture or statements of truth. I could put that aside and just meditate and feel the Christ within. You see? And so if I ask you, what is your name? Is your first response within yourself? Do you hear the words or feel the feeling, I am Christ? Because that's what needs to happen. If you're going to practice spiritual healing, which we talked about last week, you're going to have to develop, attain the mind which was in Christ Jesus. So I'm feeling that presence now, so let's be still for a moment. I am Christ. Joel says that we continue to practice and eventually we reach the place where instead of sitting down to feel that and become aware of that inner Christ, the inner Christ begins living us. And I have that. I have that experience many times during a week. Like just happened now. I'll be talking to someone, and this can be in the middle of a grocery store or at the post office. And that presence will flood over me, into me. And I'm able to say, thank you, Father. Or I'm able to realize I am Christ. While I'm standing there asking the postmaster to hold my mail, because I'll be out of town. The day will come when I am Christ will be your constant realization. It will be bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And that is the day when people who touch your robe will be healed. People who touch your conscious awareness that I am Christ will be healed. They may never know from which direction it came. But you'll know. You remember? Christ Jesus felt something flow out and turned around to see what just happened. And there she was, the woman with the issue of blood. She knew all she had to do was touch that consciousness. It'll happen to you. It really will. All right. Do you remember when we started out by practicing the presence? That too was a lot of work. We read in the books and we tried to practice. The first thought upon awakening, I am Christ. Infinite, omnipresent, the Father and I are one. One substance, one presence, one law, one power, one being, and I rest in it. And then when we went downstairs and sat at the breakfast table, before we began to eat, we tried to remember, I am Christ. I in the midst of me. I go before you to prepare a place for you. Thy grace is my sufficiency. My grace is thy sufficiency. Lean on me. Rest in me. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Your presence, I am Christ, is appearing as the bounty here on my table. Then we finished breakfast, and if we have one, we kissed our spouse, our children, and then went out and got in the automobile. But wait, I am Christ. I, one I, one presence, one mind. Everywhere I go today, I move through in as I Christ. Every driver I see is I Christ appearing as a driver. I live and move and have my being in the Father's bosom, hid with Christ in God. And everywhere I go, I move through my Christ being. And then I start the car and I move down the road, the streets to get to the highway, and I get up on the highway and I get going. I'm on the way to work. I get there, I put the car in the parking space allotted me, I turn it off, lock it up, I go inside the front door of the office. But wait, before I go in, I am Christ. I, Christ, I'm just as much on the other side of the door as I am on this side. Omnipresence, one presence everywhere. I move through, I am Christ. One mind. One mind. Christ mind. I am in agreement today with my co-workers. There's one mind, and I am in it, and it is in me, and it is in them. Everyone is I Christ. The mind, which was in Christ, is in Christ now. I go to my office or my cubicle and I put down my briefcase or papers. Perhaps I have a cup of coffee. I sit down on my desk. Now, what is there to do? I look at my desk. I look at my inbox. Oh, wait. Before I begin, my talent, my ability, my thinking, my inspiration, they all flow from I am Christ within. Let me be still for a moment. Nobody's watching me. Okay. Christ is the inspiration this day. And he performeth that which is appointed for me to do. I am Christ. Christ will perfect that which concerneth me. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You see, we're going through our day. How many meditations have we had already? Just two-minute meditations. We are practicing the presence. We are practicing remembering the presence. We are practicing remembering I am Christ, the presence of the living God. We do that throughout our day and come home at night, do it again at home. Last thing before we go to sleep, we can do what Joel recommended. I am Christ. Within me is the Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in world thought. And so I rest. I rest on the sea of spirit. I rest in the inner Christ. I release everything. I am still. Underneath are the everlasting arms. If I awaken in the middle of the night, I have a chair here close to my bed. I come over, I sit down. Father, reveal thyself. I, Christ, within. I listen. I await your inspiration. I am Christ. So you see, there's a lot of work to do, isn't there, in practicing the presence and learning to meditate? If you persist, you will come to the place where you will not have to take thought. You get up in the morning and there's the presence. You feel it. Go over to your meditation chair and rest in it, and it floods you. You go downstairs to breakfast and you blink your eyes and as a way of remembering, and you feel the presence there. You may even feel the presence in the middle of kissing your spouse or patting your children on the head. You get out to your car, you sit in it, you're feeling it. The words have become the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You are living in the Word, which is not words anymore. Now it's the Word. The actual awareness of the living God, the presence called Christ. There's no lines anymore. You don't really know the difference of when you're meditating with eyes open or eyes closed. It's become your conscious awareness. Now when you hear those words, what is your name? The inner response is automatic. I am Christ. And then, of course, you stretch forth your hand. Hi, I'm Bill Skiles, or whatever your human name is. But you've already responded with truth. Because I am the truth. I am Christ. I am the truth. And now I am beginning to live you. You remember Joel told us, he said, for a year or two it's really hard work. But eventually something beautiful happens. It begins to live us. And again, he said, the whole secret is in your response to error. If error arises and you see a lack or limitation appearing, whether in your life or someone else's, or just passing by, you see a lack, a limitation, a sin, a disease, a death. The secret, he says, is in your response, in your reaction. Do you react as a human being Or is there an inner response that takes over and announces, I am Christ? Because it will happen as you persist. You will be robed, clothed with Christ consciousness. That's the inner robe you receive. That's the stone you receive. It's been said a lot of ways. It's a very real experience. And when you are clothed in Christ consciousness, then when you see error in any form, the response comes from Christ consciousness. You're no longer horrified. You're no longer heart sick, heartbroken. The response is different. It's coming out of Christ consciousness. It is I, be not afraid. This is world thought, be still. One power, one law, one cause, not this appearance, but I am Christ. Or maybe there's no words, only the word. You look, error appears, and I'm feeling the presence. Right where error is appearing, I'm feeling I am Christ. And the presence, the invisible presence of that, I am hiding in the secret place of the Father. That is, in Christ consciousness. I'm living in Christ consciousness. Living, moving, having my being in Christ consciousness. And so these things do not move me. And nothing can enter that defileth or maketh a lie. Nothing can enter this consciousness. It can bounce around out here and appear in all shapes and forms that it wants to, but it cannot enter and go with me in Christ consciousness. And that is when we begin to have very strange experiences. I knew a man who could walk through the pouring down rain and come into the office or church bone dry. How do you do that? So he smiled and said, I walk between the raindrops. Well, I haven't learned to do that yet. I have learned that consciousness controls or dissolves weather that looks destructive, but I haven't learned to walk between the raindrops, but I know he did. Why should that be any different than walking on the water, than walking between the water, between the drops of water? It is no different. And so you begin to have some rather strange experiences that you can't boast about or brag about, because you know you're witnessing I am Christ consciousness. You're not witnessing yourself, your human self. That's being slowly dissolved. The same way the twanging on the strings on the guitar was slowly eliminated until it was no longer there. Nothing but a crystal clear note of music. And you become a crystal clear instrument of I am Christ consciousness. This is a wonderful way to live. You won't believe some of the experiences. I can't really tell them to you because you may not understand. You may not believe some of the things I have seen. Well, we've all seen healings, I guess, or we may not be even interested in spiritual principles. And so I know you've seen some healings, and I have too. I watched my own wife when I had only known her for a week. She had a cyst. You could, if you put your hand on her abdomen, you could feel it. It was about the size of a golf ball, rapidly growing to a tennis ball size. And we consulted the doctors, and believe it or not, because we had no insurance, they wouldn't take her. Well, that was the point that I remembered spiritual principles and stopped panicking and called Herb Fitch. Will you pray? Yes, of course. And he said, I want you to pray too. I want you to meditate too. Okay, Herb, I will. I hung up the phone. I meditated until I felt that presence and that release. Thank you, God. God is here. I am Christ. Consciousness was here. I felt it. I knew it. And in the next 3 days, I watched that cyst disappear. It melted. When the presence was announced, the earth melted. God speaks, the earth melts. I saw it disappear with my own eyes. With my own hand, I felt that it was no longer there. No pills, no surgery, although the doctors had said you need surgery within 2 days. No surgery, no pills, simply trusting Christ when it announced itself. And so we've all seen wonderful things. And that's, they're wonderful. They're signs that you're on the right track, you're on the right road, leading to I am Christ. And eventually, if we stick with these principles and we read a little deeper, we come to see that there's a way of dwelling in this inner Christ consciousness without words and without thoughts. There's a way to simply be, whether eyes are open or eyes are closed. We simply are the I Am. We discover Moses knew this. I am that I am. He realized, wait a minute, I am that I am. That infinite I am, I am. I am Christ consciousness. And how beautiful. Wow, it had been here all the time. I wasn't ready until I could hear. I didn't know until I could see. Without words, without thoughts, I stand in Christ consciousness within. And then it becomes absolutely fascinating to see what direction and which roads the inner Christ is going to walk by moving you around. then it becomes beautiful to see the many faceted ways in which abundance finds your doorstep. It's absolutely incredible. Always what you need is provided, and always right on time, with enough baskets full left over to share, to give a little out into the world. You see epidemics that pass by on the other side of the street. Somehow they don't find your door. You see economic downturns, but they can't find you in the secret place of God. They can't find you. You're hid with Christ in God. They go by your door. You see so many people on this planet appearing to have problems with communication and socialization and getting along with each other. People comment on you, "Wow, you two seem to get along so well. What is your secret?" Well, you know, the one asking is not really interested in practicing spiritual principles, so you have to say something like, "Well, the secret that we've found is we love each other, and we place God first and then each other second." And leave it at that. You don't say any more, unless, of course, they ask and they mean it. Otherwise, they say, "Oh, I see," but they don't. They don't, not really. And so what I'm trying to say is, you start out as a human being, don't know any of these principles, you're trying to learn them, trying to practice, and it takes work. It's hard work, hard. For a year or two or five, you forget more than you remember. It was hard work to learn to play the guitar. My fingers had no calluses, and they hurt. It hurt. But I love God, and I love music. And so that motivated me to practice and practice until the day came when music flowed through me, out of my hand, onto that instrument, and through that instrument, out into the world. And I love God, so I practiced and practiced, and eventually the day came when I didn't have to think. I didn't have to think on the guitar, where do I put my fingers? I didn't have to think with spiritual principles. Now, what is God? Where is God? The day came when music could flow through me, and the day came when Christ could flow through me. That is the living presence of God. I don't know if these talks are beautiful music, but when I don't get in the way, something beautiful does flow through. And it's the same with the guitar. If I start thinking, I start fumbling and stumbling over my fingers. If I don't think and I just let it go, the song is played. If I don't think and I just let this go, the talk is made. It's a wonderful way to live. Absolutely wonderful. The temptation in the early years is to want to give it away to people that don't want it. We try to give it to them anyway. They resent it. Uh-oh. Go back to the books, the tapes, the talks. Oh, shoot, I missed that principle. I was told to keep my finger on my lips. I was told to practice these principles in silence, not telling any person what I'm doing, until the principles practiced me, and the demonstration was so loud that, well, like Emerson, what you do speaks so loudly I can hardly hear what you say. People begin asking, what have you found? Can you give us some principles? So we move past that beginning stage and we stop trying to save the entire world and we keep our finger on our lips. You know, I've had relationships with people for years and years, and not once did the word God ever come out to them. They were not asking, so I was not speaking. I've had other people that I've met on a plane flying over the United States or on a cruise ship or in a class in a college or university, and you can hardly talk about anything else. It just flows out. The hours pass very quickly. Oh my goodness, look at the time. I've got to go home. But there's an inner nudge, an inner urging, and it tells you. This inner Christ becomes your guidance and direction everywhere you go, anywhere you go. And you know what to say and what not to say and where to go. I told you one time I had a job interview and it was three cities over and I'd never been there. I didn't know how to get there. I was running late. Something came up and it got me late. Oh no, I have a job interview and the first impression I'm going to make, I'm going to be late. Well, I had paused and asked God for direction and guidance. I felt the presence, so I felt I would be guided. I went out, I got in my car, had a quick prayer, started down the city streets in the general direction. I knew it was south, and I zigzagged all the way down to the town it was in, and when I came out on this main drag, it was like 2 minutes to go, there it was, right in front of me. The address that I had on the card was right in front of me. I parked, I went in, I was right on time. Now, these are the kind of experiences that start happening, and they're sort of like signs that tell you that you're walking the right way. If you walk through life and it seems like you have to push your way through and doors aren't opening very easy and it's a struggle and you force things to happen, you're living in and by world mind. When you begin to realize Christ within, I am Christ consciousness, and you rest in that knowing, then you go through life and doors open all by themselves. Here, come in here. And you go in and there's an opportunity that just drops at your feet. Oh, you know how to do that? Here. Can you start on Monday? And there's no effort, there's no force. Yes, thank you, I'll be here. 8 o'clock Monday morning. There's a bill coming up. You have property taxes and house insurance. And You don't have it in your savings. You only have a little bit. Perhaps you just made a purchase. Well, how am I going to... Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, Father, thank you for your feeling of your presence. I'm saying that because I'm feeling it now. And I know that God is on the scene. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I've seen it enough to rest and smile. Thank you, Father. Thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. I go on about my business, and a day or two later, there's a check in the mail. Somebody's expressing their gratitude. And it's a rather, well, large check. You say, thank you, Father. You know who the source is. You write the person and say, thank you so much for your gift of love. You deposit it, you go down, and you pay your taxes, you pay your house insurance. Everything is perfect. In this universe, this spiritual universe, this kingdom where God dwells, this kingdom where I am Christ consciousness, flows, everything is perfect. You come to rely upon it. In the beginning, you're hoping it's true. And then you're beginning to see, wow, sometimes it really is true. I'm able to make contact, touch that presence, or feel it touching me. And then finally, thank you, Father. All that thou art, I am. All that thou hast is mine. And I see it manifest with no words, no thoughts, only a resting in the Word. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way to live. Yes, it's wonderful, full of wonders. And it's only just the beginning. I hear Joel say things like, he said, I myself have witnessed the incorporeality of students over and over and over again. He says things like, he said, you must demonstrate incorporeal supply, incorporeal body, incorporeal life. I hear Herb Fitch, and he says, you must learn to live and move and have your being in your very own infinite incorporeal body. And so I'm encouraged. I'm given courage to know that there's more ahead. One man named Chuck told me one time, it's an infinite father, an infinite child, and an infinite journey. And so there will always be as much of it ahead of us as there is behind us. And so I'm encouraged, I'm inspired, spirits flowing in, and I feel, wow, I've only just begun. Infinite Father, reveal thyself. And again, I'm still. We get here as a human being. We become a metaphysical practitioner. We're practicing the principles of metaphysics. And finally, I am Christ consciousness, living itself. We have moved from humanhood to metaphysics to the mystical life. And by now, we're probably teaching because Christ has never demonstrated for us alone. I have come that they might have this life, and this life more abundantly. I open my eyes and I see our hour is complete. I will take one more resting in the Word and see if there's anything else. What is your name? Oh, I am Christ Consciousness. Thank you, Father.